Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Chof Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you will find 15 lines from the top, or if you prefer, the second to last narrow line of the Gemara. The Mishnah deals with the movement of vessels on Shabbos. The Mishnah, kol hakelim nidlin litzorach v'shelo litzorach. All kinds of vessels can be moved around on Shabbos, whether it is for a specific need or even if not. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, ein nidlin ela litzorach. Rabbi Nechemya says that vessels cannot be moved unless you have a specific purpose. The Gemara now asks, my litzorach umay shaloi litzorach. What do these expressions refer to? Before we begin the Gemara, let us note at the side we have a topic heading in which we indicate that this topic goes till Ad Omid Beis, and we've written Tiltul Kalim, the movement of vessels. We will speak about Malachton Leheter, vessels whose express purpose is for that which is allowed, and Malachton Leisur, vessels whose purpose, whose design is for activities that are not allowed on Shabbos. We will see in this Gemara a machlokes, rabba and rava. You'll notice in the markings in our Gemara we have a diamond around the names to highlight where they appear. That's a machlokes rabba and rava, the kli shimlachto the isur, regarding a vessel whose purpose is for a forbidden activity vis-a-vis Shabbos, and we're going to talk about its movement, litzorech mekoma, where you would pick up the vessel because you want the place that it currently occupies. You want to use the spot on which it is sitting. You'll notice also that we've highlighted with a double underline in the Gemara the expressions litzorech and shalo litzorech. The markings will help accentuate the points being made as we go along. So now, in trying to define the terms litzorech and shalo litzorech, Omar Rabo, the Gemara on the first wide line, litzorech equals, when the Mishnah says you can move vessels litzorech, it means dovor shemlachto leheter litzorech gufo. Something like a fork or a spoon whose design is for eating. So it is a kli whose purpose is leheter, for an allowed activity, and you need the spoon or the fork itself. You want to put food on the spoon or the fork. So you're using the fork, the goof of the fork, for an allowed activity. Shaloi litzorach, the expression of moving a vessel, shaloi litzorach, means, and note we have this broken down into Aleph and Beis, Dovor Shemlachto Leheter Litzorach Makomo, where I need the spot on which an allowed item is sitting. For example, I want to put a book down on the table, and there is a plate sitting on that spot. So I would move the plate to make room for me to put down the book. That's called, according to Rabbah, that's called moving a kli shemlachto leheter litzorach mekoma, for its spot. And what else is called shelo litzorach? V'dovor shemlachto leisur litzorach gufo in litzorach mekoma lo. And when it comes to a vessel whose purpose is for that which is forbidden, take, for example, a scissors, which is used for cutting fabric. So cutting fabric on Shabbos is a forbidden activity. However, litzorach gufo in, let us say I want to use those scissors for cutting a carrot. So it's mutter to cut carrots on Shabbos. So I'm using the scissor itself, that's called litzorach gufo, for an allowed activity, even though the scissors is a kli shem lachdu l'isur. So that would be allowed. However, litzorach mekomo lo, if the scissors is sitting on the table and I want to put a book down on that spot, it would not be mutter to move the scissors. The also Rabbi Nechemya lemeimar, Rabbi Nechemya, who has a stricter opinion, comes along to say, v'afilu dovar shemalachdu leheter, even a vessel that has a heter purpose, litzorach gufo in, litzorach mekomo lo, you would not be allowed to move a kli shemalachdu leheter if all you want is the place. You can see an additional marking is we've highlighted the point of difference between Rabbi Nechemya and the Tanna Kamma as far as Rabba is concerned by dot underlining the expression litzorech mekomo. The Gemara continues, Omar Le Rava Rava objects to Rabba's analysis and he says, litzorech mekomo shelo litzorech koris le. Notice we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. If you go back to the second wide line, you'll notice there Rabba described the Mishnah term of shelo litzorech is moving a heter vessel for its spot. Rava says, why do you call that shelo litzorech? You call that movement for no purpose or for no necessity. Why would you call that no purpose or no necessity? You need the spot on which the plate is sitting. Therefore, Elo Omar Rava. Rava, therefore, comes up with his breakdown. Litzorech, that expression that we saw in the Mishnah, that Kelim are Nitlim Litzorech, that's Dovar Shemalachdo Leheter. If it's a vessel designed for a heter activity, Bein Litzorech Gufo, Bein Litzorech Mekomo. You can move it, whether it be for its own use, own purpose, or you need the spot. Sheloi Litzorech, that would mean Ve'afilu Mechamo Litzel, where you're moving the vessel. You don't need it, you don't need its spot, you just want to protect the vessel. That's movement from the sun to the shade. V'dovar Shemalachdu L'Isur, now when it comes to a forbidden vessel, a vessel whose design is for a forbidden activity, there, Rava says, Litzorech gufo u litzorech mekomo in, mechamo litzel lo. And you can see how Rava is more lenient than Rabba in his approach. And so far as if it's a kli shemalachdu l'isur, you're allowed to move it even if it's litzorech mekomo, not only litzorech gufo. The one restriction is to move it for its protection from the sun into the shade. That would not be allowed when you're dealing with a kli shemalachdu l'isur. The also Rabbi Nechemya lemeimar, Rabbi Nechemya, who is stricter, comes along to say, "Valfilu dover shemlachta leheter." Even if it is a vessel that's leheter, litzorach gufo ulitzorach mekomo in mechamo litzel lo. For protection of the kli shemlachta leheter, you would not be allowed to move it. Yosef Rav Safra, Rav Acho Bar Huna, Rav Huna Bar Chanina, the Yasvi Vukamri. These three Rabbonim sat and said, L'Rova Alibo de Rebbe Nechemya. And fortunately, we have markings, so it's easy to focus in on Rava's version of Rebbe Nechemya. Now, Rava's version of Rebbe Nechemya said that a kli shemalachdu leheter is also to be moved litzorech mekomo. So according to that approach that forbids the movement of a kli shemalachdu leheter if all you want is the spot that it occupied, hanikaros, bowls after you finished eating. So while you're eating, the bowl is needed litzorech gufo to hold whatever food is in the bowl. When you finished eating, it's an empty bowl. You don't need the bowl anymore. Heichi metatlimen. How is there a heter according to Rabba's version of Rebbe Nechemya? How is there a heter to move an empty bowl after you are eating? And we know that we clear bowls and cutlery off the table. Omar luhu Rav Safra. midi dehave agiraf shel re'i. Rav Safra explains that even Rabbi Nechemiah will concede that dirty cutlery, dirty bowls and plates, one can move, just like there is a heter to move a receptacle of dung. That's graf shari, feces that are collected in a receptacle. In the past, we've referred to this as something like a child's potty. One can move that simply because it is disgusting. And dirty plates and bowls would fall under that category. Omar le Abaye le Rabo. Lamor alibo de Rebbe Nechemiah. So once again, here it's a function of focusing in on shitos. Lamor is you, Rabo, your version of Rebbe Nechemiah. Hechi hani keoros hechi mitatalinon lahu. Now, according to Rabo's version of Rebbe Nechemiah, a kli shemalachta leheter, one is not allowed to move litzorach makomo. So how are they allowed to be moved? Basically, this is the same question as was we just saw in the Gemara, where the three rabbonim were sitting and they asked about this shita. Here Rav Safra puts the question directly to Rabo. Well, it's basically, once again, it's the same question. How do you allow the clearing off of a table of dirty mealware, spoons, forks, plates, bowls? Omar Le, Rabo answers, Rav Safra Chavrin Tirgamo. Rav Safra, our colleague, already explained, Midi dehave agiraf shel ri. We have underlined Rav Safra's name. You can see two lines above. He's the one that gave that answer. So Rabo tells Abaye, if you're asking about my shita, why don't you just go check out what Rav Safra already explained according to what I said. We continue in the Gemara, and you'll notice triangles that appear. These are questions posed against what we have already established by way of the definitions that we saw given by Rava to the Mishnah's expressions. So, Esve Abaye raises a question. Let's just recount that Rava is Matir, a Kli Shemalachto Le'isir, Lutzorech Gufo, Ulutzorech Mekomo. So, bearing Rava's sheet in mind, Abaye raises a question from the following source. Maducha is a crusher, a food crusher, and it's called a kli shemalachto li'isur. It's classified, we should say, as a kli shemalachto li'isur. Maducha im yesh bo shum, if it has garlic in it. Garlic was a substance that was crushed by this maducha. So if there remains garlic in there, metaltalin osa, then you can move the maducha, only in the merit of the presence of the garlic. V'im lav ein metaltalin osa. And if there's no garlic, you're not allowed to move it. Now, according to Rava, why shouldn't you be allowed to move it? Let's say you want to sit on the maducha, or let's say you want to you need the place that the maducha is occupying. And yet, this source says you cannot move the maducha. The Gemara says, "Hocho b'mayaskinon mechamo letzel." In this source, where the issue of ein metaltlin means from the, you cannot move it from the sun into the shade. Even Rava acknowledges that a kli shemachto leiser, you are not allowed to move mechamo letzel. Esve, we raise a question, same type of question from a different source. The source says v'shovin, that's a reference to a machlokis beis shammai beis hillel. Here, in this case, they agree. V'shovin means they agree. Shem kitzev olav baser. If you used the chopping board already, you finished using it for chopping the meat on Yom Tov, she'osur l'tatel, you cannot move the chopping board. Now, the chopping board is in the category of a kli shemalachto le'iser. And when you finished using it, so, you have no more tzorach gufo, you have no more tzorach mekomo, and the source says you cannot move it. Yeah, but according to Rava, kli shemalachto le'iser, the tzorach gufo or tzorach mekomo, you are allowed to move it. So this is against Rava's approach. The Gemara answers, hocha nami mechamo letzel. Here too, the movement that is prohibited is from the sun into the shade. In other words, an act of protection is not allowed, being that it is an act means a movement for the purpose of protection is not allowed, because all that you're interested in is preserving it and not Litzorach Gufo or Makomo. The Gemara continues. The Ha Disnan, there is a Tanaic source on regarding Yom Tov. It says, Ein somchen es hakdera bebakas v'chein bedeles. You are not allowed to support a pot on a bakas. Bakas is a log. V'ha bakas debi Yom Tov, davar shemalachto leheterhu. A log, when it comes to Yom Tov, a log represents fuel, and fire can... fire use on Yom Tov is allowed. So the log vis-a-vis Yom Tov is a dover shemlachto leheter. That's what we know about a log. Alma, and what does it say in the source that you can't use the log for the support of a pot? You see, then dover shemlachto leheter bein litzorach gufo bein litzorach mekomo oser. So this is a serious question against all of the explanations we have seen till now, because even according to Rabbah, who was relatively strict in his interpretations, Rabbah even said that Dovr Shemachta Leheter Litzorach Gufo, Litzorach Gufo and Litzorach Mekomo is allowed to be moved. And here you see a Dovr Shemachta Leheter is not allowed to be moved, can't be used, even Litzorach Gufo. So the Gemara answers, Hosam Hainu Taimo. The source regarding the log, the reason there is a restriction is Kevon de Shabbos, Dovar Shemalachto the Isirhu, since on Shabbos a log is considered a forbidden item. Shabbos is prohibited in the use of fire. So we say Gezeira Yom Tov Otu Shabbos. We build in a restriction, a stringency that even on Yom Tov we will restrict its use in anticipation of Shabbos. V'chitema, you might want to say Shabbos gufei tishteri. With regard to Shabbos itself, allow its use. D'ha, davar shemalachto l'isur l'tzorach gufo u'l'tzorach mekomo shari. Even if it's a davar shemalachto l'isur, but certainly according to Rava's approach, l'tzorach gufo and l'tzorach mekomo is allowed. So here I'm using the log l'tzorach gufo to support a pot. So and yet the source says you cannot use it. You can, which would involve some movement of it. The Gemara says, Hani mili hecho deiko toras kli olav. Under what circumstances do we say that one is allowed to move a dover shemlachto l'isur? That's when the item itself is a vessel. Hacha, in the case of the bakas, the leka toras kli alav, it doesn't have a vessel status. It's a log. A log is not a vessel. It doesn't have an inherent use. It's some in terms of you don't use it for other services, where it's an unformed piece of wood, hence it's not classified as a vessel. So therefore we are stricter with regard to the log than we would with a vessel, a formed useful vessel, even if it was malachto le'iser. So since we're dealing with a non-vessel, we are stricter. We mentioned just a couple lines above the term Gzeira Yom Tov Otu Shabbos. That was our answer till this point. Why on Yom Tov we don't allow, because we make, even though the log on Yom Tov itself is something that is allowed, but we make a restriction of Yom Tov in anticipation of Shabbos. So now the Gemara asks, Umi Gazrinon, do we really make such a Gezerah? And we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow above, where on that line you see at the end of the line the term Gezerah. So the Gemara asks, Umi Gazrinon, And you'll notice we have a house marking. This house marking appears in opposite directions. One you can see here, and on the next line you see it flipped over. The reason for this marking is because these questions are coming, there are two questions that the Gemara raises in opposite directions, and hence we presented the house marking in opposite directions. So the Gemara asks, "Umi gazrinon? Do we really impose a gzera, asering, forbidding Yom Tov because we're in anticipation of Shabbos?" The Mishnah in Maseches Beitza says, "Mashilin peros derech aruba bi Yom Tov, avoloi b'Shabbos." A man who has produce on his roof and he's afraid that they will get ruined in the impending rain. So he is allowed on Yom Tov, and not on Shabbos, he's allowed to push them through a skylight so that they fall into the house. That's Mashilin Peros Derech Aruba, through a skylight, a hole in the roof. And that can be done on Yom Tov, but one is not allowed to trouble himself for the sake of protecting his produce when it comes to Shabbos. So what do we see? We allow Yom Tov and not allow Shabbos. And we don't say, well, since on Shabbos it's Osir, so we're going to ban this action on Yom Tov as well. So that's a question. It's a question on the answer we had just given before. The Gemara then responds, Umi lo gazrinon. And you're asking the question, you're saying, we don't make Gezeros, but is that so we don't make Gezeros? V'ha'tanan ein bein Yom Tov l'Shabbos, ela oichel nefesh bilvad. There is no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos, with the exception of activities that the Torah itself allows for the preparation of food. But otherwise, there is no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos. So that it would, what one sees here is that if something is also on Shabbos, we'll make it also on Yom Tov as well. And that would be a function of a gezerah. To answer this, as you can see, we've put ourselves in a position where it's not clear whether we make gezeros Yom Tov in anticipation of Shabbos or not. Omar Rav Yosef. You can see the bow tie shape appearing here, and you can see the bottom line, where Rav Popa has a bow tie as well. These are two responses to resolve these sources. So Omar of Yosef, Lo Kashya, Ha Rebbe Eliezer, the source that indicates stringency is in accordance with Rebbe Eliezer, Ha Rebbe Yeshua, that which we see is lenient, the Mishnah in Beitza, for example, would be in accordance with Rebbe Yeshua. The Sanya, and now we bring a Tanaic source, and this is a source we've learned quite recently, featuring a machlokus Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Shua in the case of two animals, a mother and offspring, that even though on Yom Tov you're allowed to shecht, nevertheless the Torah prohibits the shechting, the slaughtering of a mother and offspring on the same day. Of course, that's all around the all through the year, this prohibition of Osov Espino applies. And here we're talking about a case of an Osov Espino, the mother and offspring that fall into a pit. What do you do? And we're talking it's on Yom Tov. So this Sanya, Osov Espino, Shenoflu Lebor, a mother and offspring that fell into a pit. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Malas Arishon, Amanas L'Shochto, V'Shochto. You can raise one animal and do so with the intention of raise it from the bottom of the pit in order to shecht it on Yom Tov, and shecht it. Vasheni, the second animal, oisel parnosa b'mekaymoi b'shvil shelo yomus. You offer it, provide sustenance for it where it is, there down at the bottom of the pit, with the intention of it preserving it from death, keeping it from dying. But you cannot pick it up. You can't raise it from the bottom of the pit. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Male es harishon amanas l'shochto v'yeno shochto. Rabbi Yeshua says you can raise the first animal with the intention of it slaughtering and then decide not to slaughter it. Umarim umalin, through this trick of your deciding not to slaughter that which you originally planned to slaughter, ma'alez hasheni, and now raise the second animal, because at this point, this is the animal you would be intending to shecht after deciding not to shecht the first animal. So you, under such circumstances, according to Rabbi Yeshua, you would be allowed to raise the second animal. Now both animals are out of the pit. Rotzo zeh shechet, whichever one, but only one, you can shecht. What do we see? We see that Rabbi Yeshua is lenient and Rabbi Lazar is restrictive. And we're talking about on Yom Tov. So Rabbi Lezer is restrictive on Yom Tov, and Rabbi Yeshua is not. We want these to parallel the sources we saw before. The source that allows Mashil in Paris Derech Aruba Yom Tov would be according to Rabbi Yeshua, and the source that says Ein Bein Yom Tov L'Shabbos would be according to Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara says, Mimai, who says that this is the way to explain the two sources? Namely, paralleling the Machlokas, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, with those two sources. I can undo that parallel and say, Dilma ad kan lo ko'oma Rabbi Eliezer Hossam. It could be that Rabbi Elazar expresses a stringency only over there in the case of the Oysu Vesbenoi. And why over there does he not allow you to raise the second animal from the bottom of the pit? Because there's a reasonable alternative without troubling yourself, and that is by throwing food down to the animal to keep it alive. But where you don't have a chance of preserving something by non-movement of it, lo, then even Rabbi Eliezer would not be restrictive. And if it, let us say then in the case of the fruits on the rooftop and it's Shabbos, what else can you possibly do other than pushing them down through the skylight? So even Rabbi Eliezer would allow that. Furthermore, Inami, another approach to undoing the parallel, Ad Kan Lo Kom Rabbi Yeshua Hasam. Rabbi Yeshua's leniency was stated only over there by the Oisei Vesbenoi, the Efshir Baharoma. There was a trick possibility. Namely, as Rashi says there, when you picked up the second animal, he gave the impression that he was doing it for Yom Tov's sake, for the purposes we call it Tzorech Yom Tov. Aval Hecha Delo Efshir Baharoma, where you don't have this trick available. For example, as Rashi says, with the lowering of the fruits through the skylight, it's clear that when you're pushing the fruits or the grains through the skylight, you're not doing that necessarily litzorech. So there's no haroma over there. You're not doing it for some immediate need for a tzorech Shabbos, let's say. So where there's no haroma, lo, he would not allow. Therefore, we need to assign names to the two sources that we just saw. One that implies that we do make gzera of Yom Tov Otu Shabbos, and the other source that says no. Elo Omar Rav Papa, lo kashya. There is no contradiction in between the two sources that we featured with the house markings before. Ha Beis Shammai, ha Beis Hillel. The sources represent the two opinions, one of Beis Shammai and one of Beis Hillel. The Snan, we have a Tanaic source, Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Ein Motzian Es HaKotn Ves Halulov Ves Sefer HaTorah Lushus HaRabim. One is not allowed on Yom Tov to carry a child, a lulav, or a Sefer Torah from a private domain to a public domain. Beis Hillel Matirin, and Beis Hillel is allows. So at this point, if we want to parallel the Shittas, we see that Beis Shammai is restrictive even with regard to Yom Tov, and let us assume that this is like we said before, you would make a Zera of Yom Tov Atu Shabbos. Don't allow the carrying on Yom Tov so that you don't come to carry on Shabbos. And Beis Hillel allows carrying these things, these items, into the public thoroughfare and isn't worried about making a Zera. Amar, the Gemara asks, Amar de Shamis Lehu le Beis Shammai Hoitzah. Maybe Beis Shammai is strict with regard to the act of Hoitzah, changing something from one domain to another. However, Tiltel Mi Shamis Lehu, would we say that they are strict even with regard to the mere movement of things. In other words, when we try to align the shitos we saw before, we were aligning the sources we saw marked with houses before, one according to Beis Shammai, one according to Beis Hillel. And when we set up the Machmir Shita like Beis Shammai, we are basically saying he would make a Gzeirah of Yom Tov Otu Shabbos. And we used that to explain the source of not using a log on Yom Tov for supporting a pot. These sources that are restrictive include even the movement, the mere movement of things. By citing this source with Beis Shammai in Ein Motzin Es HaKotan, this is not dealing with something that extreme. This is dealing with Hoitzah. So maybe Beis Shammai is strict with regard to the act of Hoitzah, which is a serious matter. However, the mere movement of items that we featured before on Omid Aleph, who says Beis Shammai would be so strict as to forbid the movement of things and say that you can't move a log, let's say, on Yom Tov because you might come to move it on Shabbos? The Gemara answers, in fact, he would be Machmir. And we see this by the fact that he's Machmir, he's strict with regard to Hotzah, Otu Tiltul Gufei Lav, Mishum Hotzahi. Is it not so that the prohibition of movement is itself a prohibition in anticipation of Hotzah? So if you see someone who is strict with regard to Hotzah, you can rest assured that he would also be strict with regard to Tiltul, because Tiltul is an outgrowth or is part and parcel of the issue of Hotzah. We continue with more shitos, and you can see we have a diamond that appears around Rav, and later in the Gemara, a few more diamonds. On the side, we have under our nosei, mivne heading, the topic heading and structural note, where we featured the diamond. These are k'taim lefi Rava. These are sections or opinions or rabbis that we will see that conform to Rava's approach that we saw before in defining Litzorech and Shelo Litzorech. The Af Rav Sovar Lo Leha De Rava. What does that mean to hold like Rava? That means that Tzorech Mekomo is like Tzorech Gufo. In fact, we saw Rava that said that a kli shemlach de l'isser, you can move litzorech gufo u litzorech mekomo. So the Omar, now how do we know that Rav holds like Rava? And when we say that Rav holds like Rava, it means that Rav accepts the approach that was reflected by Rava. However, Rav came many years before Rava chronologically, but what we're saying is the shita that was presented by Rava, that approach to things is something that even Rav, who lived many years before Rava, had himself adopted. The Omar Rav, Mor. Mor is a spade or a shovel. Sheloi Yigonev. Moving it out of the open so that it won't be stolen. Zehu Tiltu Shelo Litzorech. That's a type of movement that is purposeless, and the Osir, and therefore forbidden. So we're talking about the movement of the shovel for preservation purposes. So taima, why is it aser? Shelo yigonev, so that it's not stolen. Avo litzorech gufo litzorech mekomo muter. But we can infer that if you, let us say, needed the shovel for itself, for let's say you wanted to use the shovel to hand to place food on it, to hand it over to someone else. That's tzorech gufo for a heter purpose, or litzorech mekomo, you needed the space the shovel was occupying, that would be allowed. The movement of the shovel would be allowed. Eini, is that so? V'ha, Rav Kahana, ikla lebei Rav. Rav Kana visited Rav, we're focused, we dashed on Rav because he's the focus of our discussion now. The Omar and Rav said, Aisu le shusa lekana lesiv oleho. Bring a shusa. Shusa is a trap or a net, an item used for trapping animals, and as such, it is a kli shemalachto la isur. There is an isur of trapping things on, trapping creatures on Yom, on Shabbos or Yom Tov. And he, Rav says, bring the trap for Kahana to sit on. Leisivolei. Lav lememra, does this not imply the dover shemalachto la isur, like a trap, Lutzorach gufo in, Lutzorach mekomolo, that the only reason Rav allowed the movement is because the trap itself was going to be used as a seat. But if you were interested in the spot of on which the trap was sitting, that would not be allowed. So how can you say that Rav holds that Kli Shemalachta Le'isr, even Lutzorach mekomo, is allowed, when here we're inferring that it would not be allowed? The Gemara says, let's relearn the story of Rav and the visitor, Rav Kahana. Hochi Omar Luhu. Thusly, Rav said to those who were there, Shkolu Shuso Mekami Kahana. Take the trap away from where Rav Kahana is so that he'll have a spot to sit on. So that the trap was interfering with the ability to sit. Now that's called movement, Litzorech Mekomo. So Rav is learning like Rava. The Boyesema, another approach to the case of the trap, is Hosa Mechamo Litzel Have. The trap was sitting in the sun, and it would be ruined over there. And if not for the need for sitting on it, if not for that need being expressed openly, one who saw its movement would have thought that lemechamo letzel is allowed, and that the tzorach mekoma wasn't a consideration, so people would have come up with a wrong conclusion. Therefore, it was important for Rav to spell out, move it so that Rav Kahana can sit on it. If we take a look at Rashi, on the first narrow line, Mechamo Letzel Have, Bemokom Horalo Hoysa, the trap was sitting in a place that was bad for it. Vilav de Porish Behedio Lesiv Alo. If Rav wouldn't have said, move the trap so that Rav Kahana can sit on it, Man de Chozi, one who was watching the someone going and picking up the trap, Sovar de Mechamo Letzel Shori, Ulo Mekoma Lohoyet Sorach. The onlooker would have come to an erroneous conclusion. He would have thought that it's being moved for its protection, and a kli shelachto le'isur mecham letzel is something that is usur, even according to Rava. And people wouldn't have thought, it wouldn't have occurred to them that it's being moved to make room for sitting on that spot. Therefore, it was necessary for Rav to spell out, move it so that he can sit on it, so as to forestall or preempt an erroneous conclusion by onlookers. But not to infer, as we did when we raised the question, not to infer that the only reason for moving it would have been leisev. The reason that Rav spelled out leisev is to forestall an erroneous conclusion. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Mori bar Rochel havelei ha'i be sadusa b'shimsha. Rav Mori had pillows made of felt that were lying in the sun. Also, lekame de Rava. Omar le, Rav Mori asked Rava, mahu letiltalinu, can I move the pillows? Omar le, shari, it's quite all right. You can move them. Rava l'shitasa, that says, dover shemachta leheter, something whose has a heter purpose, like pillows, you can move it even for preservation, for protection, moving it out of the sun. So, upon hearing this heter, Rav Mori then said, well, is li achrina, I have other ones, so that since I have other ones, am I really allowed to move these pillows? So he says, yeah, Rava says, you're allowed. Chazul Arachin, they're useful for visitors. So Rav Mori says, Isli Nami Lorchim, I've got a whole stockpile of pillows. I have enough for them also. So am I still really allowed to move the pillows? Omar Le, Rava says, at this point, Goli, Golis Adaitoch, you have revealed the Kirabo Svira Loch, that you have accepted Rabbah's opinion that Mechamo Letzel, even though it's a Kli Shemalachta Leheter, is nevertheless not allowed to be moved. In other words, Rabbah said that the preservation of a Kli Shemalachta Leheter is not sufficient grounds for allowing its movement. Therefore, you hold like Rabbah, the Kule Alma Shori, for anyone else, moving the pillows simply for their preservation is allowed. Based on what I hold, that Kli Shemalachta Leheter Mechamo Letzel is Mutter, Leditcha, but according to you, who insist on ruling like Rabba, so it will be forbidden to move the pillows, being that your only purpose in moving the pillows would be to protect them, and not to use them for yourself, nor for the guests. So for you, it will be Usser. Omar Rebbe Abba, Omar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Omar Rav. As you can see, there's another diamond here, so that we're going to make an assumption that we're going to see an approach that would reflect Rava's opinion. Mechabdos shel milsa muter l'tafelon b'shabbos, aval shel tomorrow lo. Mechabdos are brooms. Milsa is a very soft material, so it's a fabric broom, a broom made of soft fabric. It's mutter to move them on Shabbos. A broom like that, if you use it for sweeping, it won't be capable of smoothing out holes on a dirt floor, which is called ashvigumos. Aval shel tamora, a broom made of palm fibers, which is a harder substance, if you sweep a dirt floor with that, it's capable of smoothing out holes. So, such a broom, one is not allowed to use on Shabbos. Rashi, across from here, says, Shel tomorrow, Ke'ein Shelanu, like ours, L'chabed is a bias to sweep the house, the Osir, it's Osir Mishum Ashvi Gumos, because by sweeping with a hard bristle broom, you can end up smoothing out a dirt floor. The Moedah Rabbi Shimon Biv Sikrei Shivalomus, Rabbi Shimon also will be strict with regard to this, because using a hard bristle broom on a dirt floor will definitely lead to the smoothing out of the floor, which is an Isser of Boneh. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Lozer Omer Af Shel Tomorrah. A palm bristle broom is also allowed. So, but my asking, what are we talking about here? Ilemo, you'll notice we have the double underline marking, which in this case represents, highlights the stages in trying to understand b'may askin, and what are we talking about? So, ilemo, l'tzorech gufo, l'tzorech mekomo, if the whole issue here is the movement of the broom for itself or for its place, behol lemo rav, would rav say shel tomorrow lo, that you cannot move a palm bristle broom l'tzorech gufo, behol rav k'rova spirole, we've already established that rav holds like rava. And Rava's opinion is that the Kli Shemalachta Le'iser is allowed to be moved L'Tzorech Gufo or L'Tzorech Mekomo. And if it's not clear, we established earlier that Rav holds like Rava, and we have a little arrow to the immediate side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow that you see above, pointing to the line where that was said by the Gemara, that Rav holds like Rava. So it's this machlokas between Rav and Rebbe Lozer regarding the movement of the palm fiber or palm bristle broom is not the machlokis is not regarding tzorach gufo or tzorach makomo. Elo mechamo putzel. So maybe what the Rav and Reb Elazar are talking about is the movement from the shade, from the sun into the shade to preserve it. Well, if that's the case, beha lemo Rebbe Elazar af shel tamora. Would Reb Elazar be so lenient to allow mechamo letzel movement of a palm bristle broom? After all, the palm bristle broom is a klisha malachdu leisser, insofar as it is used for smoothing out a dirt floor. So the Gemara says li'olam mechamo letzel. In fact, it is a case of moving it for its preservation. And emo, and you should restate the following. V'chein omar Rebbe Elazar, where Rebbe Elazar appears in the Gemara, instead of representing a second opinion, he simply is coming to strengthen Rav. In other words, and what the Gemara is using Rebbe Elazar to strengthen Rav's opinion by saying, and thusly says Rebbe Elazar, like Rav. The topic that we're about to discuss has to do with Shivrei Kelim, and we've noted that on the side under our No Say heading. Kol HaKelim HaNitlin M'Shabbos, all kinds of vessels that one's allowed to move on Shabbos, Shivreim Nitlin Imohim, their broken pieces are allowed to be moved also. Ubavad Shu Oisin Me'ein Malocha, provided the broken pieces have some functionality. Me'ein Malocha, they do some type of, they perform some type of function. Examples: Shivrei Areva, Lechasis Blen as P Hechovis. An Areva is a bowl. Let's say you have a smashed bowl, but the pieces are useful to serve as a cover for a barrel. So, if the piece is useful for that, you can move the piece. Shivrei Zechuchis, Lechasis Blen as P Hapach. A broken glass. If the piece is useful for covering a pach, another type of receptacle, so you can move the broken piece. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bovat Shu Oisin Me'ein Malachton. Notice with our markings, we've emphasized the point of difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not enough for the broken piece to have functionality, but it has to have an element of functionality similar to the original purpose. As a result, Shivrei Areva, Latsuk, Lesoichon, Mikpeshel, Zechuchis. Mikpeh. And Veshel, Zechuchis, Latsuk, Lesoichon, Shemen. The items, the cheres, which was a clay bowl, or let's say Shivrei Areva, was a bowl, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, it has to be able to still have some receptacle capacity. And that would be to pour, latsuk is to pour into it a mikpeh. Mikpeh is a type of porridge. And shel zechuchis, the broken pieces of glass that were originally some type of glass receptacle, it's something lotzuk lesochon shemen, you could pour into the broken piece some oil. As we continue in the Gemara, we encounter a new geometric form, and under our Mivneh heading, we have a triangle featured, and we've written Shnei Shlovim B'Divrei Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. These are two stages in Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, B'Birur Machloikis HaTanoim, with the goal of clarifying the Tanaic controversy, the Nishbaru Emas. When did the items featured in the Mishnah, the broken pieces, when did they break? So stage one, Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, Machlokes Shenishbaru Me'erev Shabbos. The Machlokes Tanakama, the first opinion, and Rabbi Yehuda that we saw in the Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda was more restrictive, is where the items broke Erev Shabbos. The Morsovar Me'ein Malachton In Me'ein Malocha Cheres Lo, that it's if you're dealing with something that broke Erev Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda will say then that you, it has to be able to function as its in its original capacity as a, in this case, as something that's a receptacle. But if it has some other type of function, now that is not enough. Umor Sovran, the Tanakama will tell you afilu me'ein melocha acheres avol nishburu b'Shabbos. If the vessel broke on Shabbos proper, divrei hakol mutarin. Everyone will agree. Even Rabbi Yehuda will say it's mutar is. As long as it performs some functionality, even if it's not in its original capacity. Why? Hayol umuchanim al gabi avihen mutar. Since as Shabbos entered, it was a whole, it was a complete vessel. So it was muchan. Muchan means prepared and available for Shabbos use. Avihan means the original vessel. So since the broken, what's now a broken piece was part of a complete vessel upon the entrance of Shabbos, therefore the broken piece is considered mutter, totally allowed, as long as it performs some function. Mosiv Rav Zutroi. Rav Zutroi raises an objection to this answer. The source says, Masikin became in vain, Masikin b'shivrei came. Here we're talking about Yom Tov, but as everyone knows, Yom Tov and Shabbos are very similar with regard to their restrictions within the realm of Malachis. Here is a source that says you can use vessels for as fuel. Masikin is to burn something. Yom Tov, burning is allowed. You can cook up items. You can start a fire for cooking. So this source says you can throw a chair, let's say, into a fire. That's Masikin b'kelim. The ain Masikin b'shivrei kelim, but broken vessels you cannot use. Well, as far as this source is concerned, Dinishburu Emas, when did they break? Ilemo Dinishburu Me'erev Yom Tov. If you were to think that they broke before Yom Tov set in, so you have just a broken piece of chair lying around before Yom Tov. Eitzim Ba'almon Inhu, it's mere wood. Why would you not be allowed to use it? Even before Yom Tov, it doesn't have a chair status. It has mere wood status, and that's something that's allowed. El Alav B'Yom Tov. It must be that the Shivrei Kalim spoken about in this source is that the chair broke on Yom Tov. V'Kotoni, and it says Masikin B'Kalim, V'Ein Masikin B'Shivrei Kalim. You're not allowed to use that which broke on Yom Tov. And here it has use. And according to what the first version of Rav Yehuda or Shmuel said, that if something broke on the holy day itself, as long as it has some use, you can move it. Why then do we see here that you cannot? Elo I itmar hochi itmar, in light of the Tanaic source that we just posed as an objection to our first presentation of Rav Yehuda or Shmuel, we go now to a second version. Thusly, hochi itmar, thusly he said, Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, machlokes shenishburu b'Shabbos. The machlokes, Tanakam and Rav Yehuda, is where the vessel broke on the holy day itself, on Shabbos proper. The mor sovar muchon hu, umor sovar noilad hu. The Tanakama says, well, it broke on Shabbos, that means it was muchon, it was available as part of the original vessel upon the onset of Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says that if it doesn't perform the original functionality, then nolad hu, it's considered nolad. Nolad is something that is new, that wasn't there before Shabbos. It might have physically been there as part of a whole vessel, but now it has a new identity. So as such, it's considered nolad, which is a form of muktzah, and therefore it's usser. Unless it performs its original role, then it's not nolad. It's like it was, just in a smaller version. Avol me erev Shabbos, if the item broke erev Shabbos, before the onset of Shabbos, divrei hakol mutorin, everyone, even Rabbi Yehuda, will agree that the broken piece is mutter, even if it's not in its original capacity, hoyo v'huchnu l'melocha mibaod yom, since it was already broken and prepared for its new role before the onset of Shabbos. As we continue in the Gemara, you'll notice a double underline, and three of them, in fact, and these are featured under our Nosei Mivneh heading as three Tanaic sources that seem to be initially contradictory, and it will be the role of the Gemara to try to resolve them, basically assign different names, different shitos to each source, so that they represent rather a controversy but not any contradiction. Toni Chado, Masikin Bekalim Ve'ein Masikin B'Shivrei Kalim. One source says you can use complete vessels as fuel, but you cannot use broken ones. V'Tanya Idoch K'Shem Shemasikin Bekalim Kach Masikin B'Shivrei Kalim. The second source says, just like you can use complete vessels, you can use broken ones as well. V'Tanya Idoch Ein Masikin Lo Bekalim V'Lo B'Shivrei Kalim. You cannot use as fuel complete vessels nor broken ones. Well, that seems to be a three-way contradiction. So the Gemara answers, there is no contradiction. Before we go further, let us just make one assumption based on that which we answered already in before. When we speak about Shivrei Kalim, we're talking about vessels that broke on Yom Tov. We have to be talking about Yom Tov, of course, because we're talking about using it as fuel, and only on Yom Tov are you allowed to use fire. So when we say use fire, of course we mean the actual lighting of a fire. So source number one that says you can burn vessels but not the broken ones, Ha Rebbe Yehuda. This represents the Shita of Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda holds from the concept of Muktzah. And a subcategory of Muktzah is Nolad. And as we said, we're talking about something that broke on Yom Tov itself. As we saw before, if something breaks on Yom Tov itself, it wasn't prepared for this purpose. It was a whole vessel before Yom Tov, and now it's broken. Breaks on Yom Tov, so the pieces are maybe useful as fuel, but they weren't designed for that at the onset of Yom Tov. So its new identity is called Nolad, and therefore Reb Yehuda holds from Muktzah and Nolad, who holds that it is a restrictive concept. He is the author of Source 1 that says you can use complete vessels for fuel, but not broken ones when they broke. As we said, they broke on Yom Tov. The source number two that said Masikin B'Kalim and B'Shivrei Kalim, that's in accordance with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon does not hold from the Muktzah concept in this capacity. And therefore, Nolad doesn't present a problem for him. So you can use the broken pieces as well for fuel. Ha Rebbe Nechemya. The source that says you cannot use even the complete vessel is in accordance with Rebbe Nechemya. His opinion is that vessels cannot be moved unless you're using them for their design purpose. And a chair, for example, which is a kli, is designed for sitting, not designed for fuel. Therefore, you cannot move it. You can't throw it into the fire. Omar Rav Nachman. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a new marking, the crown shape, and we indicate that this discussion goes till Kuf Chav Hei Omen Aleph. On the side under our Mivneh heading, we've indicated that this is a Sidra, a series, Sidra Shel Pritim, a series of items, the Dinom Legabi Tiltol, and the law regarding their movement. Hani Livni Dishtair Mi Binyona. Livni are bricks. Ishtair means leftover. Binyona from a building site. So you have, let's say, bricks that are strewn around an area that was a construction site. Ishtair means they're left over from a building that was constructed. So that he finished the building, and there were bricks left over, and they were strewn around. Now, they're not, being that the building was complete, completed, so they're not needed for the building anymore. That's why it's important to emphasize the word ishtayer. It's left over from a building. So what purpose could bricks have? You don't need them for the building anymore. So shori l'tiltolinu, you can move the bricks. The chazu l'mizgo alayhu, they're fit for sitting on them, using them as makeshift chairs. Sharginhu, if the bricks, however, were the leftover bricks were laid out row upon row, then it's clear vadai aksinu, they were set aside for a new building, and therefore they would be usser. They were, that's called mutzah, set aside for building purposes, which is something forbidden on Shabbos and Yontif, and therefore they're called mutzah. Omar Rav Nachman Omar Shmuel Cheres Ketana Mutar L'Tatel, and we have to know another aspect of this piece of Gemara is there are numbers and a new how, and there's a new form, a new marking here. The house form around three names, and you'll see there are three levels of leniency that follow. That's why we highlight these three different names. So, Omar Rav Nachman Omar Shmuel Cheres Ketana, literally it means a little piece of clay. From the context of the Gemara, it would appear that we're talking about a shard. Mutar L'Tatel B'Chotzer Aval B'Karmel Islo, it's allowed to be moved around in a courtyard, in an enclosed area, but not in a Karmel. So Karmel is a rabbinic realm, a rabbinic area, and it's not an enclosed area, therefore there is a restriction in moving it in such an area, Carmelis. Rashi adds a lot of important information. So we look at the Rashi, Dibor Maschil B'Chotzer. Why is it allowed, why is a shard allowed to be moved around in a Chotzer? The shrichi ba kelim shacheres hazeh roy lekisui v'toras kliolav. In a courtyard there are vessels, and vessels need covers. So this piece of clay, this cheres ketana, could be used as a cover. Rashi goes on, avolo bekarmelis afilu besoch dalat amas. You can't move it in a karmelis, even if you're not going to move it more than four amas. You're going to be simply moving it around in a very restrictive area. That's still not allowed. Why? There aren't vessels there, so it doesn't have the role of a cover. That would make this cheres something purposeless when it comes to a karmelis, and therefore it would be usur to move it. The Gemara continues, Rav Nachman Didei Omar. Notice, Rav Nachman's name appears here, but this is the first time we're marking it, because previously Rav Nachman just above this was quoting Shmuel, so Shmuel was the focus. Here Rav Nachman Didei means Rav Nachman himself holds differently. He says afilu b'karmelis, you're allowed to move it in a karmelis since it's not a reshus harabim, and Rashi adds it's not a reshus harabim, and therefore it's a place that people come and will actually sit there. And it has a role, this cheres has a role as something that could be used for covering spit. And spit is something that's disgusting. And if you're in an area that people will come and sit there, so they want to have the benefit of sitting in a clean area. So this shard has a useful capacity, and therefore it can be moved in the Karmelis, of course within four amos. The Rova Omar afilu b'rishus harabim, he's more lenient than Rav Nachman, and he says even in a rishus harabim it can be moved, since in a chotzer it has a status of a vessel, so the vessel status doesn't depart from it, and therefore even in a rishus harabim, of course within four amos, you'd be allowed to move it around. The Ozda Rova Litame, and Rova in allowing this is consistent with what he has said elsewhere. the Rava Habakazil Beriska de Mechuza. Rava was walking in a Riska is a thoroughfare Rishus Harabim, a public area, a street in Mechuza. Mechuza is the name of a community. Isvasoi Misane Tina, and his shoes got dirty. Isvasi is to get dirty. Misane is his shoes, Patina, with some mud. Also, Shamei, so Rava's servant came. Shokal Chaspa v'ko michbarle. He took a chaspa, and as we said before, chaspa is a shard, a broken piece of clay. V'ko mechaperle. Mechaper means to cleanse. He was cleaning off using this shard to remove the mud from Rava's shoe. And so we have the servant moving the shard in a public thoroughfare on Shabbos. And again, it's just on that spot. He's not moving it more than four amos, but he is moving it. Ramu Bei Rabbonin Kola, the students that were there, raised their voices trying to stop him. Hey, what are you doing? You're moving this shard around. Omar Rava said to them, Lo mistaya de lo gemiri, it's not enough that they are ignorant, that they are not learned. Migmar nami, migamri, they're trying to teach others, they're trying to pass on their ignorance. Ilu bechotzer havoi, if I was in a courtyard, mi lo have chozi l'chsiyah b'mona, would this shard not have been useful as a cover for a mona, a vessel? Hocha nami chazio l'didi, so too here in the Rishus Rabbim, it has use, it has value for as a cleaning item. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel Megufas Chavis, again Megufas Chavis Shenixasa. Megufas is a barrel cover or barrel seal, and here we're talking about a Chavis Shenixasa as a barrel that was got smashed. So we have the cover of a smashed barrel. He Ushvoreha Mutar Letaltel B'Shabbos. The Megufa and that's the seal and the Shvoreha of the Chavis. The pieces of the barrel can be moved around. Rashi says they're fit for covering a vessel. Tanya Nami Hochi, the Tanaic source supports this. Megufas Chovis. Megufas Chovis Shenixasa, the seal of a barrel that was smashed, he Ushvarel, the Megufa and the broken pieces of barrel, Mutu Letaltalo B'Shabbos, it's Mutu to move them around on Shabbos. Velo Yisfos Mimeno Shever, Lechases Bo Es Hakli, you're not allowed to break off from the Megufa a piece in order to use it as a cover, the lismuch bokari hamita, nor to use it as a support for the legs of a bed, because you're not allowed to form something. And if you break off a piece for some new purpose, you're making a vessel, and that's a problem. Was called makib patish. It's a final act in the making of a vessel, which is a malacha on Shabbos and hence forbidden. The im zorka ba'ashpa osir, and if you tossed it into if you tossed this magufa, this clay seal, into the garbage, then it would lose its vessel status. Maskif lo rav pop elameata, according to what this source is saying, zorik le leglime hochinami da osir, if one took his shirt and threw it into the garbage on Shabbos, are you telling me it would be usur to move it? How that it, because by throwing it into the garbage, it loses its vessel status. That's very unlikely. Elo omar rav papa im zorka mi ba'od yom la'ashpa. If you had a barrel cover, a barrel seal, we're at the top of kuf chof hey omen aleph. If you threw it into the garbage on Friday. So there you reveal to us that you don't view it as a vessel anymore, and therefore it loses its vessel status because of your declaration before Shabbos. So that at the onset of Shabbos it already didn't have a vessel status. That's already a different story, and that's why it's usher. Omar Bar Hamduri Omar Shmuel Chromios Shel Machzelis Mutur L'Taltalom B'Shabbos. Machzelis is a mat, often a reed mat, and here we're talking about a mat that frayed. So that's what the chromios shell machzelis, the frayings of a mat, of an old mat. Mutter l'tavlum b'Shabbos. You can move these frayed pieces around. My taima, why is there a heter to move them? What purpose do they have? Omar Rova, bar hamduri asbarali. We saw a moment before that Bar Hamduri quoted Shmuel in this halacha. Rava tells us that Bar Hamduri explained it to me. Machzelis gufa lemaychazi. What is a reed mat useful for? L'chsiei bo'afra. It's useful for covering dirt. Hani nami. The frayings also chazin l'chsiei b'hu tinofas. They're also useful for covering dirt. So they have a Shabbos use. Therefore, you can move them around. Omar Rabbi Zeir Omar Rav, Shorei Pruzmios, frayings of fabric, of a garment, something left over from that which was originally a talis, also L'Taltalon B'Shabbos. One is not allowed to move these frayings, patches or pieces on Shabbos. Omar Abaye, B'Matlonios, Sheimlem, Shaloisha, Al Shaloisha. These are pieces of fabric that are very small, so that they don't have the dimension of 3x3, and as such, the lochazian lo laniim velo lashirim, they are of no value not only to people of means but even to the poor. They have no value, and hence they cannot be moved around on Shabbos. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.